All right, welcome to the Legalize Vaping Podcast. I'm Brian Marlowe, Campaign Director for Legalize Vaping. And to my right, which is irrelevant because we're on a podcast, is Emily Dye, our Policy Director. Emily.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
No worries. Look, most people listening probably already aware, but pretty big news out of New Zealand. The government has finally reaffirmed their stance on vaping. They've announced what their legislative framework looks like. So before that, vaping was legal, and then they were just trying to finalize what the regulatory framework would look like, how it would affect vape shops, and how it would affect other retailers like supermarkets and convenience stores that want to sell these products as well. And broadly, it's not too bad. So yeah, there are some restrictions on marketing and whatnot, which would probably be ham-fisted. But compared to the regulatory model we have here, it's light years ahead. And it's one of these things where, I mean, you've seen the policies that we have here in Australia, and you see anti-vapers pushing how we need to ban these products, and how anyone who claims these products are 95% less harmful is just a shill for big tobacco. So it's like, well, you have the entirety of the New Zealand government and their health department going, these products will help people quit smoking. They are 95% less harmful. They're going to help us, achieve a smoke-free New Zealand, I think is what they're calling it. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. And the health minister for New Zealand actually stated outright, vaping is 95% less harmful than smoking. You've got the FDA in the United States saying similar things. Do not pick up smoking if you're vaping. Don't switch back is what they're telling people. They're telling people that it is 95% less harmful.
So what you're saying is that the entire United States government, every member of the health department in New Zealand is paid and bought for by big tobacco, right?
Oh yeah, and every single OECD nation except Turkey.
Except Turkey. So Turkey and Australia, not bought off by big tobacco. Everywhere else, we're on to you.
Yes.
And it's like, it's this weird like logic where it's like, oh, you support vaping or you must be a big tobacco shill. It's like, well, but isn't the New Zealand government a shill for big tobacco? Like, or are they doing what health departments are meant to fucking do, which is look at data and then go, the numbers don't lie.
Exactly. And Australia has some of the highest tax rates for tobacco in the world, and we have some of the most expensive cigarettes. So one can question who's bought off by big tobacco.
Well, yeah, exactly, right? And I don't really understand how we're still sitting here having this debate around whether or not vaping is even less harmful. Like, there are still anti-vapers here being like, oh, the 95% claim is made up. It's like, well, how can you say that when literally every other health department that we follow the lead on is like reaffirming that? It really flips me out. But they are losing, and we're slowly getting towards our goal of legalizing vaping. But I guess one of the questions for you, you're the policy director. Some of the things they've done in New Zealand, it's almost there. It's not perfect. There are some restrictions on marketing and things like that, which sound good, but when you actually look at what the restrictions are, vape shops aren't able to basically sell their wares that easily. And I think those are the sorts of things over here that, you know, no one should be putting up big ads being like, hey, everyone should take up vaping. But a vape shop should be able to like advertise that they have vaping products.
Yeah, and I think we really need to acknowledge that vaping products are not the same as tobacco products.
Yes.
And there's a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of it spread by our own health department. And people tend to think that, oh, vaping is worse. Vaping is even more dangerous. It's just not true. And a lot of these regulations add to that. And that's how these regulations get passed. Because people have a bunch of misinformation and are afraid. And any regulation made on fear is never a good regulation.
Yeah, exactly. It's always ham-fisted. It always has these weird unintended consequences that completely undermine everything that they're actually doing. And, you know, on the not being a tobacco product thing, it's this weird regulatory quagmire that we always fall into. Even when we try and run Facebook ads to sign people up to our petition, they get knocked back because Facebook goes, oh, but vaping is a tobacco product. Literally just because the law has gone, it's a tobacco product. And one of the things I'm concerned about is like, how do you break out of that cycle? Because, you know, we all know it doesn't contain tobacco, isn't made by tobacco companies, and doesn't have any of the effects of tobacco other than you can get nicotine. I wonder how you sort of break that cycle, because that's just how it's viewed here, which is, oh, it's a tobacco product, so apply all the same legislative framework to it when these are products that don't.
Yeah, people refer to it as smoking, or they think it's smoking when it's not. Bring things back domestically. Melbourne's been discussing for past few months banning vaping in public areas because it's smoking. But vaping isn't smoking. It doesn't have the side effects. The reason you don't have smoking in public areas is because you get secondhand smoke, which is detrimental to other people. It's an externality, as economists like to say. Vaping doesn't have those externalities. It's a nice scented air humidifier, if anything. Good breath.
But it's scary.
It's scary. It makes big clouds. Clouds are scary.
Clouds scary, and news say vaping turn baby into vapor. Like, it just... It's really frustrating as well, because a lot of it comes to passing the buck. So when councils say that they're going to ban vaping in smoke-free areas, we'll usually write to them or send them some kind of correspondence. And then they refer to different departments. So they go, oh, well, so the reason we're doing this is because it's a tobacco product, and that's a federal legislation issue, so you need to talk to the health department. So then you contact the health department. You go, hey, this council's trying to ban vaping in smoke-free areas. And they go, that's a council issue. You need to talk to the council. And it's like this...
This is how bureaucracy works.
Yeah, this is how bureaucracy works.
They always
works.
Just
yeah.
pass you along. I remember when I was a student, it was always this thing, registering for classes. You go to the registrar's office and they go, no, you need to go talk to your professor. Oh, you need to go talk to the head of your school. And then you'd go back and forth between office to be in office. Same thing works on a larger level, except it's even more convoluted and you have to travel further and yeah, talk to more people who don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, you've come to the Department of Paper Clips. You actually need to go to the Department of Clipping Paper. And it's like, oh, okay, right. But, you know, so that's New Zealand, right? And then down in Victoria, who's, you know, people in Victoria, hearts go out to you. It's pretty rough down there. And there's all kinds of fuckery afoot. One of which is there was meant to be a vote in the upper house on vaping. And David Limbrick from the LDP was pushing a motion that we'd worked with him on to try and legalize vaping at a state level. And by all accounts, he'd organized for some Liberal upper house MPs to support it, as well as some crossbenchers and whatnot. Unfortunately, that was delayed because they've shut down Parliament during coronavirus. But I think that sort of shows that, you know, we had a lot of noise at a federal level. We really sort of monstered the health minister back in July. And then there was sort of a sentiment that, oh, well, because we're not at the same level and intensity of campaigning, everything's kind of stopped. It's like, well, no, we still have things going on. You know, we're pushing at different state levels to try and sort of find cracks in the wall, so to speak, and push that through. But, you know, we can't make pandemics go away. So for people listening, you know, we're trying, and that motion will be put up, and it will go back up once Parliament resumes down in Victoria, and you will need to support that.
I'm sure all the vapors in Victoria are very disappointed. They need one joy in their life right now, and it's been taken from them.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. There's a lot of vape shops in Victoria, and they're kind of really struggling as well, right? Because they've all had to shut down operations. They can't have people walking in, and they're, you know, trying to pivot to do click and collect. But even then, like, I'm not sure how they're going to get out of the C word. You know, and in Victoria, you've got shops having to basically close down for the next 6 weeks. Maybe they're doing click and collect. You've got vapors that are going to struggle to get their products. And then on top of that, in Victoria, there seems to be a concerted effort to really crack down on vaping, and we'll sort of go back to the smoke-free areas issue that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think broadly it's been real. I was talking to a nurse the other day about smoking and how they're not allowed to smoke on the public hospital property. And so a lot of nurses late at night on their night shifts have to go across the street, go into dangerous areas in order to smoke. They're not allowed to smoke in the parking lot. And this kind of inconvenience is very problematic for a personal choice they've made. I really would not like to see that extended to vaping. I think that would cause a lot of problems in people's lives and just make it harder for people to smoke, quit smoking, make it harder for people to be safe and make good choices and deal with a stressful job like nursing. They should be allowed to vape where they need to, vape where it's easiest, smoke where they can't, where they need to. But ideally, those regulations should not similarly be passed on to vaping, which doesn't cause any problems for the normal people.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. A couple of years ago, we were up in Queensland for a by-election campaigning on vaping. And one of the things we did is we stopped by Queensland QUT, Queensland University of Technology, I think it is. And they'd enacted smoke-free areas on university campus, and they included vaping in that. So we're talking to some of the people on campus who smoke and some of whom who vape, and they're like, yeah, so now we're not allowed to smoke or vape here, so there's just a really dodgy park that's full of like really creepy people at night that we have to now go and like just congregate in to smoke and vape. It's like, okay, so who is this benefiting? You're not stopping them from, like, the smoker's not going, well, oh, I'm not going to have a cigarette now, or I'm not going to have a vape now. They're just going to go, okay, I'll just go in dodgy alley and be treated like a weird...
It's like, because you vape, you should get murdered. Sorry.
Sucks to be you, son. You see it at airports as well. There's like the weird smoking cages outside airports. So like at Melbourne Airport and like Sydney domestic airport, there's like this weird outdoor area that's like the assigned smoking area. And it's like literally in bars. It's like, walk into your prison and have your shame dart.
You bad person. And it's like, you can probably come up with some justification for smoking, because smoking does have that secondhand smoke effect. Vaping doesn't. There is zero justification other than we don't like you.
Yeah, the downside is that if someone vapes near you, you might smell like sherbet, or like, you know, smell kind of nice.
It's only if you stand in their cloud.
Exactly. Like, you might end up smelling like a Lush store, and we can't have that.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
I'd say it's better than most of the smells that you get at, like, an airport or in,
like,
close-packed people.
The first time I went into a vape shop, I was like, oh, this actually smells kind of nice. Like, I was surprised. I mean, even just, like, our bottles of legalized vaping liquid. Buy the legalized vaping liquid, by the way. Do it. Vapeforce1.something.org.com. You'll figure it out. We'll put a link somewhere at some point. Maybe we won't. Who really cares? It's a podcast. How does technology work? But yeah, like, I don't understand it. It's like the most inoffensive consumer product. It's like, look, this doesn't kill people and it smells nice and it tastes kind of cool too.
We also buy products to do, like, air freshen our own apartments. We could just vape.
Just vape. Yeah, look, okay, all right. That was a joke.
It's a joke. We're not saying that people that don't smoke should pick up vaping. However, it does
have if your room smells a bit weird, maybe you should... That's a joke as well. Just... Like,
we're gonna get in trouble now.
There'll be some fucking anti-vaper who, like, is just sitting at home, sad. They've had like they've had their like last cry wank of the century, and they're miserable and don't like people. No, we're keeping that in the podcast. I'm not cutting that out. Anti-vapers, stop cry wanking. Stop campaigning against something that helps people live a healthier lifestyle, and go fuck yourself. And I think on that note, we're going to end. That's a Legalized Vaping podcast. Emily, thank you so much. Legalized vaping and end cry wanking. Thank you.
Perfect.